Morning. Are you ready? My name is Andy Azilo. Barely a day over 25 years old. Line dance. You know, one of the constant discussions, arguments in our house is who are better drivers, men or women? Now, truthfully, we all know it's the men, because that's a fact, I'm sure. But this is what I picked up in the news this week, yeah? Frankfurt Airport has introduced women-only parking. They are painted pink near the terminal and are bigger than normal in order to make parking easier. I share the same thought with the Germans on this one. But, amen, I don't think that resolved the argument in my house, but it's what I'm going to be using consistently now as my reference for this. This morning we are going to be talking about light and darkness. And I think I just want to pick up a verse for us. This is from the book of John chapter 3. And I hope that this morning my encouragement is for every single one of us. And I know that it's hard for a whole group to grab something. But my prayer is that a few of us will be moved in our hearts to live differently. That's my prayer. But in John chapter 3, verse 19, it reads. It says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. These are the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus actually described himself as the light. He is the light. He also mentions how he is rejected. Jesus Christ is rejected because most people don't want to step into the light. People don't want to follow him, so they reject him. And in this passage, Jesus describes some of the reasons why he is rejected, or why people don't want to become Christians. And he addresses this whole idea that there is a fear that comes from stepping into the light. That the fear stops people from being truthful. Because what he says here towards the end, he says, but whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. I think there is a sense that if people are really truthful, if you're just honest about your life, then stepping into the light will be easier. And yet, he makes it quite clear there is a fear involved. And that's what we'll be talking about this morning. Just this whole idea that that light is good. God wants us to step into the light. In fact, he explains in John chapter 3, verse 16, which we'll read now. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. From this passage, hopefully we can see that God has a motivation for us to step and live in the light. And that motivation that God has for us is love. And he describes it by the way he sent his Son into the world to die for our sins, and that we are called to believe in him. However, he doesn't make light of the fact that some part of us just sin, and we want to sin, and do things that are offensive to him and to God. You know, Jesus talks about that our deeds will be exposed. There's this sense of stepping into the light, is one of those things where you're now visible. Anyone can see exactly what you were like. There's this sense that you can't hide anything or you don't hide anything. But the stepping into the light is a kind of refreshing thing. God wants us to be in the light. He doesn't want us to be in the darkness. And I think it's very helpful for us to understand what this means today. And that's what we'll be looking at, just this whole idea of what it means to step into the light. Jesus also makes it quite clear from Hebrews 4 that stepping into the light is not just about our deeds. So sometimes we think, as it said in John 3, that stepping into the light so that, you know, people will know our deeds. But the Bible teaches in Hebrews chapter 4, it says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." The Bible teaches that it's not just our actions that God sees and stepping into the light involves, but it's also our thoughts and our attitudes. So there's this sense that stepping into the light is where, in terms of what we do, it's there to be seen. In terms of what we're thinking, it's there to be seen. In terms of our attitudes, it's there to be seen. And there's this sense that really that it's just a kind of open life. Nothing is hidden. Because ultimately God knows and God will judge. So there's no point in trying to hide or to pretend. In terms of asking ourselves the question, why does God want us to live a life where, you know, nothing is hidden, everything is exposed? Because sometimes that seems against what we would like to do. I mean, think of Adam, the first man. You know, God comes into the garden, "Where are you?" And does he take responsibility for his sin? Does he say, "Oh, I ate the fruit. I'm sorry, Jesus, God. Forgive me." No, he says, "That woman you put here." I mean, there's not even a sense of, "Yeah, that was wrong. It was quick to point to the woman, and you put the woman there, so God, that's your fault. I blame you for my sin." And some of us have that mentality too. "Oh, I won't take responsibility. Everyone else has been responsible for molding me the way I am, so it's their fault. It is not my fault." The reason why God calls us to step into the light is, one of the reasons is God wants us to recognize destructive behavior in our lives. We are aware of our actions day to day. God wants us to be able to be aware of destructive behavior. If we are doing things that are ultimately destroying our souls, our friendship, our family, our lives, God wants us, stepping into the light helps us to really see, oh, that's what it is. Just to be able, it's a very helpful thing, I think, to be able to identify things that you do, that I do, that are destructive. It could be in our language, it could be in our behavior, it could be in our thinking. Sometimes our thinking is very destructive, where we don't have a clear view, a correct view of what God is saying. You know, stepping into the light, the Bible describes just the sense of peace and joy that comes. When you are not living a life that you have to cover up or hide what you do or deceive other people, there's a sense of peace. I value peace in my life, I tell you. I value that I find it very hard if there are thoughts that I have that are playing on my mind of guilt or burdens. And I love peace. As Mike shared, the teens have been away this week. There's another kind of peace. But I love an inner peace and an inner joy of living a life that is in the light. You know, stepping into the light, it certainly builds friendships, and it builds trust. And really, there's so many things, so many great things that come when we step into the light. And yet, for many of us, fear stops us and doesn't allow us to make the decisions we need to make that call us to step into the light. You know, we're going to be looking at a couple of things this morning about stepping into the light. The first one I'll put here is, are you able to articulate the truth about yourself? You know, it's stepping into the light is, when Jesus says step into the light, there's a sense that we are being called to be able to explain who we are. Do you know who you are? That's the question. Are you able to articulate your lifestyle in terms of what stepping into the light means? And for many of us, we have some idea of what that might look like, but for many of us, we don't know what it looks like when we say stepping into the light. And hopefully this morning, I mean, the Bible there are many verses on sin. If you go through the Bible and look at what stepping into the light means, there are numerous verses that describe sin, deceit, lewdness, sexual immorality. It also describes the sin of not doing what God says, rebellion. If God says, forgive your enemy, and you say, who? I'm not going to forgive my enemy. That's rebellion against God. If God says, go and make disciples of all nations, and we say, I'm too scared, that is sin in a sense. It's going against. If you have children and you tell them, go and do this, and they say, no, I'm going to do that. Even if that is washing the dishes, and you say, no, go and do the garden, I'm going to wash the dishes. That's not what God said. This, do that. That's what he says. And it's very, this idea of being able to articulate your sin is key. I don't know about you, but when I was studying the Bible, I didn't really know how to, I couldn't articulate my sin. And the Bible describes various ways we can actually do this. In fact, the next verse in Psalm 139 is something we're probably very familiar with. It says, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You get the sense that the psalmist is inviting God to search him. Come in and see. See if there's any offensive way in me. Expose it so I can deal with it. I want to be able to see what it is, God. Come in. Anxious thoughts, whatever it may be. You know, I think one incredible way of being able to find out what you are like is to pray and ask God this kind of prayer. Say, God, expose my sin. Help me to see my sin. Help me to see if there's any offensive way in me. The reason why I'm saying pray this is because your eyes are least likely to be able to see yourselves clearly. Don't be deceived and think that you've got a good sense. Pray to God. Say, God, please show me. Now, the great God that we have will show you not in the way you expect. He'll use his other ways to show us, but he will show you what it is. Another way is through Bible study. I think reading the Bible carefully and meditating. If you don't understand what words are, read them up and find out what words mean. Meditate on them. Pray through them. Meditation is a great way to try and grasp what the Bible says about yourself. When I was studying the Bible, the most impacting way for me was the third one, was where I'd sit down with other people and we would talk through things. That to me was the most impacting, because it really did take away my own judgment of what sin is. So for instance, when I was studying the Bible to become a Christian, I had a relationship with a married woman. She had been separated, and I had a sexual relationship with this woman. That's how I described it. And one of the guys looked at me and said, that's adultery. But I didn't want to call it adultery, because that would make me look bad. It looks less bad if I said she used to be married and that's the way it is. But the brother said, well, that's adultery. And it was a hard thing for me to say, this is what I have done. I was like, whoa. But that was a turning point, because it was a start of me owning up. And I think this is the first time in my life I started to own up to my own sin. You know, another area in my life that was quite predominant was in the area of pride. In my own eyes, I was super humble. Seriously. Not just humble. In my own eyes, I was super humble. And I didn't quite figure out why the guys around me couldn't see this, because it was so obvious. And again, this is another one where you think, well, I should be able to be able to have an idea. But then studying the Bible carefully and the patience of those around me explaining to me and going through things like my resistance to certain things. I would resist doing this. I would resist going there. I would have my own opinion in this area. And usually it was opinions that stopped me. I had lots of opinions and views and ideas. And when it came down to being guided towards what the Bible said, and when I was forced to look at what the Bible actually said, then I could say things like, yes, I am a prideful man. I am an independent man. I am very opinionated. And I like my opinions because I think they're right. And that's how I used to think. And being helped by other people to really... Now listen, if I'd have just sat down with the Bible and read it, I'm sure that's all in the Bible. I couldn't see it that way. I couldn't see my sin the way, and with people around me explaining, looking through the scriptures, identifying things, and through that process, over a period of weeks, I started to be able to say things like, yes, I am an adulterer, I am a proud man, I am a rebellious man. Just being able to articulate, this is me, I am a lustful man, I like looking at women. I like material things. I want material things. This is who I am. I am this. I am that. And this is all in a good way, by the way, guys. This is not about pulling yourself down. It's just being able to see who you are. To be able to gauge who you are. Because if you don't know really who you are, when you step into the light, you don't know what's supposed to happen. What is this area of my life that people are supposed to see that means stepping into the light? And God wants us to be that kind of person. Now, I don't know what your kind of articulation of your own sin might be. Maybe you're secretive. Maybe you are not comfortable with people looking through your browser history. Maybe if someone said, excuse me, bro, can I look through your browser history? Don't worry, bro, it's fine. I don't struggle with pornography, it's okay. Or to be able to say, hey, bro, here's my browser history. What about mobile phones and answering machine messages and so on? Are people phoning you that shouldn't be phoning you? This is one thing that sends shivers down my spines in terms of particularly women for me. And I've got to really think, who's calling me? Is this making a clear line between, you know, work and not work, or things that I need to be not, and if there's any hint of anything beyond that, it frightens me in terms of phone calls, messages, text messages. I mean, I feel very secure. My wife can see my phone and do what she wants. It's not really particularly struggling now, but it's certainly something I'm very conscious of. But the question is for you, are you secretive? Or do you feel secure in letting other people browse the history and see these kind of things? You know, in terms of things like lack of self-control. 2 weeks ago, I came to church and Mike touched my belly. At first, I thought it was just some kind of gentle, kind gesture. I thought, thanks, Mike. Very, very moving. Thank you for being appreciative of me. But then his words kind of contradicted my image of what he was going to say. He said, you're putting on weight, bro. I said, well, my waist size is still the same. And he started to laugh. He said, it's still the same. I felt a bit of hurt when he said that. I thought, oh, man, okay. The same evening, Paul Rowden does the same thing. Did you guys talk about this? And it's like a double sword in my heart. It was like, one, two. I thought, oh, leave me alone. I'm doing fine. Now, is having a big belly sin? Yes. Who said that? It's not in the Bible as being sin. Now, lack of self-control is sin. Yes. Having a big belly, I mean, there could be. I could tell you all kinds of stories about my belly. Well, it's been has some stuff pumped into it, and that's. But two brothers, the same night, kind of helped me to. And when I thought about this, I thought, yes, I just hate the idea of changing something. I hate the idea of thinking about going on a diet. I just don't want to. I've got enough on my plate. I was just two things went wrong there. I walked into that one. But stop heckling. I don't know what your life looks like. You know, as I shared a couple of weeks ago, I went out for dinner with a brother. In fact, Obi Abuchi is on a hot holiday at the moment. We spent about 2 hours just talking, and we went a bit deeper than just the, for men, we went a bit deeper than just the lustful thoughts, the attraction to women, the we went to the what happens at work when a certain lady pays you attention. And so what do you do at work? And we went through about what happens if you face that scenario. We talked about making sure our wives were aware that this happened and certainly how we felt. So certainly bringing the wife in. We talked about just some situations in my life where I think I went to work in Yinka Lana's property. In West London, I walk in and the lady opens the door fine, and I'm doing some work around the house. I go into the bedroom and she's in bed, and I'm thinking, oh man, this is horrible. I just felt so uncomfortable and was quick. In fact, I'm not sure I finished the job completely. I was more eager just to leave and just make a decision to get out of there. But the reason why I'm saying this is that it's a weakness. Did I have thoughts of doing anything wrong? No, but I know how things can develop. I know what might happen. And so I was very keen to get out of that situation. You know, I don't know whether your challenge is being deceitful. Your challenge, you may have to stand up and say, I am a deceitful person. My language is such that when I talk to people, I give them a different impression to what is really going on. So if my husband or wife or your friend asks you a question, I give an answer, but it doesn't reflect the truth. This is something I face every day at work. But we need to be able to stand up and say, that is who I am. I am just deceitful. And that stepping into the light should deal with this. Maybe you're a gossip. Maybe it's materialism. Maybe you're lazy. But you need to be able to say, I am a lazy person. I'm lazy. If you're all fuzzy, like, I don't know if I'm lazy or not. I just like sitting around all day and doing nothing. And that's not lazy. That's stand up and say, I'm just a lazy person. I'm lazy. That's my nature. Not accepting it, but just being aware that that is what you're prone to. And I think there is this sense of being able to, for you to be able to articulate and speak very, very clearly about who you are. For your own good. Forget the rest of the lesson. Just for your own good to know what to do next. You know, Jesus talked about fear, the issue of fear. There's one thing owning up to who we are to ourselves. But then Jesus talked about for fear that their deeds will be exposed, they don't step into the light. There's one thing us being able to do that for ourselves. The challenge is confessing sin to other people. And Jesus says there's a fear. I think the reason why Jesus put this here, and it comes up time and time again, is that this is a very strong motivator not to confess sin. Yeah. It's a huge obstacle when we start playing in our mind a picture of the consequences if we share our sin. The Bible says fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Memorize this verse. Memorize it. Because usually the fear is associated with fear of man. Not fear of God, but fear of man. You know, I think Mike and Leslie shared about this a few days ago, but, you know, some of the things that cross our mind is certainly what other people may think of us. And that's a big one. If we confess our sins or talk about our weaknesses, that other person now is in a position to make a judgment, in a sense. And we get fearful of that confrontation. What would they think? Will they think less of me? Okay. So what if they think less of you? What does God think of you? So when you come out of that discussion with yourself, you say, okay, I know they may think less of me, but God will think more of me. Okay? So then what do? Then you choose to do what is going to glorify God. And that is what we're called to do. I think some of us fear that it might damage relationships. I know in my marriage, that's one thing I fear. That if I confess and share some things, particularly things that affect my relationship with my wife or my children or my family or my friends, if I share something that's particularly sensitive, I'm afraid that rather than help, it may hinder. If I share my sexual desires with my wife that I may have during the day or temptations, she may respond in a way that is not good, or I'll feel bad about that. Now, we're going to talk about this a bit later, but that is no excuse for not confessing sin. All right? That is not an excuse. Maybe you need to find somebody else who you can confess to and get advice from. But it's not an excuse not for confessing the things that are going on in your heart. One of the fears I have from confessing sin, a bit like my belly, is that there's a connection between confession and repentance. So if I come and say, oh, this, I confess that, I'm also saying that I want to change it. Sometimes I don't want to change things. I'm thinking, well, I don't really want to change that, so why am I going to confess it? Because it means I'll have to deal with it now. And I like that little sin that I have that is just for me. I like it, I cherish it, and so I won't confess that. And that's a hard one. It's a hard one for me. I don't know what it is for you. But you've got to be able to think, am I not confessing this because I don't want to change it? I like holding on to this late night TV. I like holding on to this music that I listen to, even though it's sinful. I like it, so let me not talk about it. That's one of the fears that many of us face. Another fear we have is how people are going to react to our confession. I think that's an important one. How are they going to react? In other words, I think when I was studying the Bible to become a Christian, there's always these thoughts in the back of my mind of just really, what's the reaction going to be? And again, it's almost like this fear of man. And it's like saying almost for me, who cares what the reaction is going to be? Again, what does God think about what I'll be doing? And that's a fear that can stop many of us from confessing our sin. We fear the consequences. We fear this fear. And this is crippling fear. I think one of the biggest and hardest ones, if something's been going on for a few weeks or you've done something consistently, the longer you separate the start to confession, it's hard. It's very hard to say, 2 months ago I did this, or, you know, because what's happening then is that you've had 2 months to feed that. Whereas if at the time you said, you know what, yesterday I, then it's fresh. And so if we leave things now, again, this is no excuse not to confess, okay? But maybe it needs a different type of confession, okay? You've been involved in something for weeks, months, you haven't talked about it, think carefully, get advice of how you're going to do that. But these are issues that I think most of us face in many ways. But you've got to deal with the issue of fear. And I really want to encourage you to pray through that, pray to overcome fears. What I found helps me is just saying some words initially. So for instance, you know when a word is, you start a sentence, you have to finish almost. So just, even if by saying to my wife, excuse me, yes? Oh man, that's it. Because sometimes I can't think of doing the whole thing at once. But if I just throw something in, It helps me then to progress to the next stage of talking about how I feel about something or something that I have done. Confessing sin itself. The Bible calls us to confess certainly sins to God. We are supposed to pray to God, confess our sins. We're also called to confess our sins to one another, as brothers, as sisters, as friends. I'm really encouraged by a young Christian, Caroline. She's not here today, but I asked if I could share this. Caroline, as many of you know, is larger than life. She's full of joy and enthusiasm. She studied the Bible for about a year plus, maybe. Such a joy to be around. And I was speaking to her this morning, actually, from yesterday and this morning. I was just catching up on a situation. She rents out properties, and she met, I think it was a Nigerian chap, who... You're very sensitive, Wally. This is. But she was starting to do business in terms of property rentals, and he was a landlord, and then he said some very lewd words to her about this is not going to result in sexual relationships, and she's like, "What are you doing?" But he started saying some things, and then he started to invite her out to dinner, and she was feeling very uncomfortable. And then he said that, because she said, I'm a Christian. And he said, I'm a pastor. As if, okay, I can understand your language now. And he said, I lead the church just around the corner. And she's like, wow. And then she started to, I think, use scripture and other things. But what impressed me the most about her is that she resisted, but she literally ran to Monica's feet saying, Monica, this is what happened to me today. And she was very quick to confess her situation, her environment. In other words, I didn't enjoy my environment. And it could have gone this way or that way. But she was very quick to confess to Monica and just let Monica know what was happening. And I was very moved by her zeal. I think she almost, as if she ran to Monica just to get it off her chest and learn how to deal with it. Now, I wish I could say that about myself. I wish I could say that about myself. But when we're called to step into the light, there is this sense of being eager to clear yourselves, wanting to clear ourselves, and running to confess our sins. And the Bible calls us to ultimately talk to people. Finally, there is a call to... I think this is very important. This is the whole sense of when people confess sins to us, how do we react? Are we gracious? Are we full of mercy? Are we gentle? This doesn't mean you don't confess sins, but this helps me if the person I'm speaking to. I remember a few years ago. We did the marriage dynamics class, my wife and I, and some things came up, and we started to confess sins to each other. And my reaction was very, very bad. It was very reactive. I hadn't learned. I didn't know how to handle or to deal with someone I love confessing sin to me in that way. And in the same note, you know, I confess sins to her. And one of the things that really stuck in my mind is what my wife said at the end. Is she kind of said something to the effect of, how did you feel the way I responded? I said, I felt loved. I felt grace. I didn't want to ask her the same question. Well, I knew the answer. I knew the answer is that it was ungodly. It was a very unhelpful reaction. And this is an area that we can all grow in, so that people feel comfortable talking to us. Because some areas of confession can be quite sensitive. In fact, one area during the same time, I asked my wife. I said, "Honey, I really want to talk about some things that involve you. How can I go about this?" And so we agreed, two brothers, She said, you can talk to that brother. And that. These are not brothers who would just say, oh, they're there. But they are brothers that she felt happy with, comfortable with. I said, oh, thank you. And I remember driving to, one of them was my brother-in-law, Lulu, in the Northwest, driving an hour and a half to sit down and talk. But it was just an air that I felt, I'm not comfortable just confessing this kind of sin or confessing this or talking about this, but I need to be able to do it. Who can I do it with? It doesn't have to, confession of sin, we don't all need to know your sins, all right? Maybe it's some people. You certainly don't want somebody who is going to just kind of look over your sins. You want someone who's going to help you. The goal is help. And I think what helped me was just being able to talk very openly with a brother I trust, and I feel very secure with, that I can really say anything. And we were talking about attitudes, my thinking, my feelings. We went through it all. This is how I feel. This is how I felt. This is what I was thinking. I was thinking that. I was feeling this and that. And he was able to listen and help me and guide me through. But I needed that person at that time. Since then, I've never had that kind of experience where I've needed it that close. But I don't know what your situation is. But if it is quite intense, I suggest you find people who you can get close to and talk with as we step into the light. In conclusion, you know, hopefully today has been helpful. We've talked about stepping into the light. We've looked, first of all, and certainly if you're not a Christian today, if you're not a Christian, stepping into the light is a salvation issue. Yeah. It's not, well, I'll think about it. No, if you can't step into the light, you can't be saved, basically, as the Bible describes. So step into the light. Be able to articulate your sins so that others and you can identify them clearly. With the issue of fear, let me encourage you to pray through that. Make small steps to overcome fear. Ultimately, confess your sins, whether you're fearful or not. Okay, don't wait to be in the right place. Just be in a position where you feel comfortable. And really be a person who others can confess sins to you. Amen. Thank you very much.